Private First Class Bo Bergdahl left his platoon's base in eastern Afghanistan in the early hours of June 30th, 2009. Since that day, easy answers to the many questions surrounding his case. Why did he leave his post? What kinds of efforts were made to recover him from the Taliban? And why, facing a court-martial, did he plead guilty to the serious charges against him, have proved elusive? The new book American Cipher is an account of the nearly decade-old Bergdahl tragedy, which, as journalist Michael Ames argues, is as illuminating an episode as we have as we seek the larger truths of how the U.S. lost its way in Afghanistan. The book was researched with more than 20 hours of interviews with Bob and Janie Bergdahl, Bo's parents, who have not spoken to any media outlets since the political firestorm that followed their son's recovery. Prior to reporting on the Bergdahl case, Ames covered politics and environmental issues for publications including Harper's, Newsweek, The New Yorker, and The Daily Beast. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Ames to the roundtable this morning. Michael, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
What brought you to the subject and wanting to, with your co-author Matt Farwell, take a look at the Bo Bergdahl case?
Yeah, each of us came at this with our own personal connection to it. Matt fought in the army in eastern Afghanistan in the same location that Bergdahl fought, and Matt was with the 10th Army, 10th Mountain Division. I was a newspaper reporter and editor out in Bergdahl's hometown in Idaho. I actually knew Bergdahl's father as the local UPS driver. So it was and that whole town is a tight-knit community, and we saw how this ordeal was affecting them in real time.
One of the things about this story, as just an observer of someone who follows the news, is that you go back and forth all the time. Well, I feel this way, I feel that way. I think he should be responsible for this, and I don't know what happened there. Were you even in the writing process sort of back and forth all the time?
For sure. And I think we were very lucky to have the legal proceedings do a lot of that explaining for us, and our sources do a lot of that explaining for us. So I didn't feel the need, I mean, and one shouldn't as a journalist anyway have preconceived ideas, but our sources are really the lifeblood of this book. And what readers will find out is people spoke to us because they wanted to set the record straight about false narratives and political scripts that were put out to score political points and get TV ratings. And our sources came to us because they wanted the truth to get out.
I mentioned the interviews that you did with the parents. What do you learn about this story? What do you learn about Bo Bergdahl from talking to his parents?
Well, you learn a lot of things. I mean, he was raised in a unique way in the Idaho backcountry, spent a lot of time in the wilderness doing survival techniques on his own. But they are religious people, and they raised him. They thought maybe he would be a missionary. You know, and one of the things he did, he looked into before joining the army, was going to be actually a missionary with the family's church in Uganda. But there were no more positions left in that seminary trip, and he went and volunteered for the Army, which, by the way, was the second time he volunteered for the U.S. Armed Forces. The first time was for the Coast Guard, where he washed out of basic training with a major panic attack and anxiety breakdown. And then despite that, the Army took him in with a waiver, which was really sort of an original sin in this whole tale, that the Army allowed someone with his troubled background to go on the front lines.
Talk a little bit about that troubled background. What should have been the red flags?
Well, there were red flags, most obviously from his Coast Guard record. The Coast Guard said that he had an anxiety disorder and that he would need clearance from a psychiatrist to serve again. Yet when he went to the Army to enlist, they gave him a waiver, and those requirements were forgotten. He was an interesting case because he was a fit guy. He knew guns. He knew weapons. He had the abilities to do these things, and yet emotionally and psychologically, he was a loner. And of course, as psychiatrist later revealed during his trial, he had a unique personality disorder called schizotypal personality disorder, which really does not set one up for success in a social unit like the Army.
When you think of his deserting his post, June 30th, 2009, a lot has been written. There have been many trial and articles and books and interviews and everything. We still, at this point, and no disrespect to you and your colleague, but we still don't really know what happened, do we?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think we have a definitive history now, assuming that you believe that Bergdahl's voluntary testimony to the Army is true. And one can you know, philosophize about whether or not his years in captivity would have done things to his understanding of the truth. But I, coming at this and looking at the people in the military and the investigators in the Army whose job it was to get the record straight, believe that we do have a full explanation and understanding of what happened, thanks to Bergdahl himself and everyone else who cooperated with Army investigators, and beyond that, the sources who cooperated with us for this book, who reveal so many more things that have not been put on the record up to now.
Because he entered a guilty plea and ultimately sentenced to be dishonorably discharged, and when you think of that, I guess there was a lot questioning whether that of that sentence was enough, and that is something else here too, right?
Sure. People, you know, I think to answer that question, I go back to that day in the courtroom. I was there at the moment, and I interviewed people who had served with him and who had served being told that they were looking for him, and who also attended those court hearings. And they were not angry, interestingly, because if you listen to the media and you listen to social media, everyone out there was furious that he didn't get jail time.
Right.
But the guys who attended the trial saw that it was much more complex than what they had been told when they were in the war. And they learned that what they had been sent to do to supposedly search for Bergdahl was really a cover story by their own commanders to run aggressive raids and find shortcuts around frustrating rules of engagement.
Okay, so let's get really to the meat of the book, which is this story as also a lesson, if you will, in what has happened to us as a country when it comes to our involvement in Afghanistan. What do you think we learn from Bo Bergdahl's story of our involvement in Afghanistan?
I think you see in Bergdahl a unique crucible of the entire American experience in Afghanistan. Here you got an idealistic kid who goes over there and thinks he can save the Afghan people, and then when he sees the war is going awry, thinks he can single-handedly fight the system to make things better. The United States, similarly, went over there thinking that they could save Afghanistan and stay, well, that's not the reason we went in the first place, but once bin Laden escaped and the Taliban was toppled, why did we stay there for so long? Yeah. We believed that we could save this country. And of course, that has proven not possible at all.
When you think of him, and I know you talked to his parents, did you talk to him personally?
Briefly, but not to the degree that we spoke to his parents.
And what were those conversations like? And ultimately, would you have wanted more time?
Oh, you always want more time with your sources. But you know, we learned so many things from the people who fought with him, from his friends in the platoon. And look, he was held in total darkness for 5 years. He didn't know a fraction of what was being done on his behalf. And this incredible global negotiation that was undertaken that he was really the catalyst for. When you look at the peace talks going on right now that the Trump administration is holding with the Taliban in Doha, those can be traced back to Bo Bergdahl.
Mm. What is his life like now?
I can't speak for him. I know that he wants to move on. He had hopes and dreams. He wanted to get an education. And I think he's trying to put this behind him. But look, he's a traumatized former prisoner of war.
And his parents have to be concerned about that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And are they, where do you, in your conversations with them, what do they see as how do they feel about the outcome and dealing with that?
Well, look, they're interesting people. They were Republicans. They considered themselves Republicans and saw their own party turn on them throughout all this. I think they received a real brutal education in bare-knuckle American politics. They found themselves on the receiving end of so many death threats. They were put under FBI protection. They themselves have been through a traumatic ordeal that, you know, James Mattis tried to tell the media to back off, but it was too sensational and the media couldn't help itself.
When you think about the case itself, do you think it should have been as blown up as it was, in the sense of, I mean, I think of it from a news perspective, and you're a journalist as well, where you look at it and say, wow, this is a story. And because there's so many facets to it, and it is fascinating, and yet it also became a circus.
Completely. And everyone involved on a political level exploited Bergdahl for their own gain, and that includes the Obama administration in that day after he was brought back. I mean, they did not need to present it as this political victory the way that the White House did. And some of that, as readers will learn in the book and as we discovered from Bergdahl's parents, was a spontaneous decision made by President Obama in the Rose Garden. Once that decision was made, it was hard to try to, you know, put the horse back in the barn in terms of that story. But as we also discovered, Republican operatives were looking at using this as leverage against Obama during a midterm election for weeks prior to the event itself.
It was May 31st, 2014, when Bo Bergdahl's parents joined President Obama for a ceremony in the White House Rose Garden. There again, it on paper it makes sense, right? You have the release of a soldier who has been held captive, and that is something that you look at as a positive sign. You bring the parents into the Rose Garden and you celebrate that. And yet, why was it such a spontaneous decision? For how much did the administration, do you think, know at that point?
How much did they know
about what we were to find out later about the story?
Yeah, I mean, I think they made of, and it's not just my thought. I'm again drawing on the sources who gave us so much time and recollections from their time in the White House. We're operating under a false assumption, which is that their happiness in the White House, where they've been trying to get Bergdahl free for so many years, would be widespread and shared by all Americans. And that was a faulty assumption.
When you look at this book and ultimately the story that it tells, what do you think we can learn from it? Are there lessons to be learned here?
For sure. And there are policy improvements that can be made, everything from mental health screening for the armed forces to the question of what exactly is Guantanamo, what have we done there legally, and what effect does Guantanamo have on American law and institutions. I think it's something we need to take a closer look at.
The name of the book is American Cipher. Talk about the title just for a second.
Well, Bergdahl is a code that no one cracked. We're still talking about it now. You know, what did he intend to do? Was he sane? Was he insane? What lessons can we learn? I think he provides a decoder ring to this whole long tragedy in Afghanistan.
The name of the book is American Cipher, Bo Bergdahl and the U.S. Tragedy in Afghanistan. The book is published by Penguin Press. Matt Farwell is the author, along with our guest, Michael Ames. Michael, thank you very much for sharing with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, American Cipher, Bo Bergdahl and the U.S. Tragedy in Afghanistan. The book is published by Penguin Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.